WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports on this Friday. Friday is what I like to call it. Happy Friday, April 21, 2017. We've got a loaded hour, a loaded, jam-packed hour in store for all of you out there on this Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. If you haven't heard, there is breaking news concerning the second sexual assault investigation centered around the Michigan State football team. We do have a name. Yeah, we've got a name, folks. And his name is everywhere right now here locally when it comes to the darkening cloud that is Michigan State football. We will bring that story to you and briefly discuss it. We will also talk about, of course, yeah, you can't go a month without talking about, in some way, shape, or form, the National Football League, as last night around 8 p.m., they, of course, released a schedule for every team in the league. We will discuss how the Detroit Lions schedule for the 2017-18 season pans out, and the Detroit Tigers. Oh, was that an ugly series or what against the Tampa Bay Rays? The Tigers swept at Tropicana Field. We'll chat about that series. We will also invite to the show our dear friend, Todd Duckett, formerly known as TJ, former MSU NFL running back, great, and founder of the New World Flood Movement, a service organization that works to help youth become change agents in their respective communities. You don't want to miss the chat with Todd, as, of course, he will chime in on the cloud over Michigan State football. And we will talk about, of course, the Battlefield Brawl Flag Football Tournament. I'll be playing in that for my now third straight year on Sunday at Marshall Park. A great event that serves for an even greater cause. We'll chat about that with Todd. And we will talk about the NBA playoffs. A pretty big name in the world of the NBA world is hurt. Yeah. So we'll talk about that and also reflect a bit on the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports, bringing you our favorite segments, interviews, conversations, and maybe a few stories that we did not get a chance to highlight just yet. We call it Reflection Friday. Be a part of the conversation. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR. You can also go to Facebook.com/Current Sports, where we are live streaming the show as we customarily do, and even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. As you see, a jam-packed 60 minutes. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headlines. All right, and we begin with the Michigan State football team. Sophomore defensive lineman for the MSU squad, Austin Robertson, was officially charged with third-degree criminal sexual misconduct today. The alleged sexual assault took place on April 9th. And what that means when it comes to a third-degree criminal sexual conduct charge, that relates to an alleged non-consensual sexual penetration with force or coercion, the victim being incapacitated, I should say, or other factors weighing in that as well. Online court records indicate Robertson's charge involves force or coercion. The charges were sworn in 55th District Court out in Mason. Meridian Township Police conducted the investigation. Now, if convicted, Robertson could face penalties ranging up to 15 years behind bars. We will have more on that story in just a moment. More positive news for Michigan State football. On Thursday, the Spartans extended an offer to Henry Gale, a running back prospect from Wisconsin. Rivals.com ranks Gale as a three-star recruit for the class of 2018. The staff hopes Gale becomes the next Wisconsin product to wear green and white. The general consensus has been the Iowa Hawkeyes are the team to beat for this said commitment. Now, Gale has indicated he wants to make an early decision. He told the Detroit Free Press that he will decide on his college destination within 7 days. Michigan Wolverine senior point guard Derek Walton Jr. has officially signed with an NBA agent, I should say. Priority Sports in Chicago announced yesterday that Walton will be its next client. Priority Sports was founded by Mark Bartlestein. Priority Sports has its fair share of ex-Wolverine clients. They represent Philadelphia's Nick Stauskas, Atlanta's Tim Hardaway Jr., and Mitch McGarry, who is not currently playing with an NBA team. He was formerly with, of course, the Oklahoma City Thunder. It will be interesting to see where Walton will go in the draft. And first, he has to, of course, impress GMs at the pre-draft combine and the actual combine if it goes that far. He will, of course, be scheduled for multiple team workouts. Excited to see where Derek Walton Jr. lands. Shocking news here. Didn't see this one coming. Great guy and a great coach. Grand Ledge girls basketball coach David Jones stepping down after 8 seasons leading the varsity girls program and more than 20 seasons coaching basketball at various levels. Jones guided the Comets to 6 consecutive top 2 finishes in the CAAC Blue and to 2 of its deepest state tourney runs in program history. Grand Ledge compiled a 101-36 record the last 6 seasons under his direction. This is a direct quote coming from the Lansing State Journal, Brian Calloway. Quote, I feel very fortunate that I've had the opportunity to work with great players and coach great kids. I feel like Grand Ledge girls basketball is at a good place right now, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to coach them. You will be missed, David Jones. We hope to have David on the show sometime next week. We'll keep you posted on that. Also shocking news, co-host of the Valeni and Foster Sports Talk Radio Show in Detroit, Terry Foster. That show aired, of course, on 97.1 The Ticket. Foster has announced his retirement from the show. Foster was on the airwaves for 13 years before announcing his retirement. A reason for the retirement was due to health-related issues. He is coming off of not one but 2 strokes and decided that it was just time to focus on himself and his family. During his time on the radio, Foster received a lot of criticism because of certain points he would bring up and make. But on the counter side, the guy was loved by a lot of people in the city of Detroit. He was a guest here on Current Sports, I believe, just once. And it was an absolute pleasure having him on, a dude with a ton of knowledge. He will be missed. Congrats on the retirement, Foster. Hope you get well, my man. At 8 p.m. last night, the entire NFL schedule was released for the upcoming season. This is always an exciting time for fans who love to count wins and losses for the respective team by just looking at the schedule. The Detroit Lions have a pretty tough one. It is filled with exciting matchups, though, with primetime games, 2 Monday night football games against the New York Giants and Green Bay Packers, along with a Sunday night game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a game that fans always look forward to is the annual Thanksgiving Day game. And this year, the Lions will take on the Minnesota Vikings for a 2nd straight season. And will look for their 5th straight Thanksgiving Day victory. This is the first time the Lions have played the Vikings on Turkey Day for consecutive years. We'll dive into the Detroit Lions schedule in just a moment as well. Stephen Tulloch, former Detroit linebacker, came back to the Lions facility on Thursday to officially retire as a member of the Honolulu Blue, a team he played with from 2011 to 2015. Tulloch played for 3 teams during his 11 seasons, including a 1-year stint in Philly last year, but he was at his best while in Detroit. He averaged 119 tackles his first 3 seasons and added 107 in his 5th and final season with the organization, despite a diminished role coming back from a torn ACL. He also had many charitable works while in the city of Detroit. He was actually named the team's Robert Porche Man of the Year 4 consecutive seasons. His efforts largely focused on the city's youth. He also was heavily involved in working with families dealing with that heinous disease known as cancer. And last, but certainly thank goodness, Lise, the Detroit Tigers were swept by the Tampa Bay Rays yesterday afternoon. The 1st and 3rd game were dominated by, of course, the Rays. 2nd game, much more competitive, but the Tigers still lost that one, having the lead in the 9th inning. Gave it up on a bad throw from Jose Iglesias, trying to make a double play. He, of course, missteps on the second base bag. Trips, falls, gets a knee to the jaw. Walk-off error. Game over. Rays win. Huge concern for fans for the team is the bullpen, of course, an issue that has been an issue for quite some time. Again, the organization has not made strong enough efforts to change that, and despite the three-game losing streak, the Tigers are still tied for first in the American League Central Division. Next up for the Tigers, though, will be in the Twin City tonight to take on the Minnesota Twins, a team that historically the Tigers usually dominate. 8:10 p.m. first pitch tonight, Justin Verlander on the mound. We'll see if the Tigers can get back on track. We will have more on the woes of the Detroit Tigers in just a moment. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Go to Facebook.com/CurrentSports to join us via social media. Without further ado, let's start the show.
My name is Austin Robertson, Wayne High School, defensive end. I like to be competitive and play with speed. The NFL player that my game resembles is Alden Smith. We both like to get to the quarterback fast. I first fell in love with football at the age of 7. In the last year, I improved my hands and flipping my hips. One thing I do well on the football field is play whistle to whistle. The thing I love about football is getting to the quarterback. My favorite play on the field when it's third down and inches and we have to stop the quarterback. What I'm looking for in college is good relationship with the coaching staff. The career I would like to pursue after football is opening up a business.
Welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I want to pass this news to you all as well. I got this from our very own Kevin Lavery just minutes before I took the air, but the smooth sounds of Cuba Gooding Sr. Cuba Gooding Sr. found dead in his car in Los Angeles, according to ABC. He was 72 years old. Of course, he was most famous for his hit, Everybody Plays the Fool, which you hear just underneath me right now. And, of course, he was, and I didn't even know this. It shows you how young I am, I guess. I didn't even know this, but Cuba Gooding Sr. is, of course, the father of Cuba Gooding Jr., one of my favorite actors in the game. I can only imagine how he is taking that news. Welcome to the show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Before that rendition of Everybody Plays the Fool, you heard the scout.com video of a player who was slated to have a lot of promise for the Michigan State football team, that being Austin Robertson, Michigan State defensive end, 6'4", 275, went to Wayne High School from Fort Wayne, Indiana. We have been profiling the dark cloud that hovers over the Michigan State football program. We've been chatting about this for months now. Because, again, two sexual assault investigations taking place surrounded around Mark D'Antonio's program. And now we have an update concerning the second sexual assault investigation in which a young man for that MSU football team has been officially charged, and that, of course, being Austin Robertson. That news broke earlier today. Again, if you haven't heard, Austin Robertson has been charged with sexual misconduct, another allegation of physically assaulting a woman for the Michigan State football player. Ingham County prosecutor Carol Seaman this morning charged Robertson, who is a sophomore, third-degree criminal sexual conduct. And as I highlighted in our quick hit headliners, what that means, what third-degree criminal sexual misconduct means, is that it relates to an alleged non-consensual sexual penetration with force or coercion, the victim being incapacitated or other factors. And according to the Detroit Free Press, online court records indicate that were released to the public that Robertson's charge involves force or coercion. Those charges were sworn in the 55th District Court in Mason. Meridian Township Police conducted the investigation, and if convicted, the penalties are pretty harsh, very stern. Robertson could face penalties that range up to 15 years behind bars. I tell you, folks, it's really tough to talk positively about the Michigan State football program when you hear about something like this. And again, this is a separate investigation to the first investigation that we found about earlier this year concerning three unnamed MSU football players. Again, those players have not officially been charged by the prosecution. Therefore, those names cannot officially be released. We are still in limbo when it comes to that investigation. But now we have a player who can be named because Austin Robertson has officially been charged. And when you evaluate Robertson's past, this is a 19-year-old from Indiana who has not demonstrated great behavior. I mean, heck, you can go back to an incident that occurred from an October of 2015 incident at his high school. Yeah, Robertson was actually arrested in January of 2016 on a misdemeanor battery charge at Wayne High. And get this, Robertson was accused of improperly touching a female classmate, according to Allen Superior Court for records. How that situation panned out? Well, he entered into a divisionary program for that case, and he completed that in early March. Those charges were cleared from his record on March 22nd after he fulfilled the terms of his divisionary program and by not getting into trouble after that, according to court documents. And then 18 days later, he was accused of a more significant offense. He did not sign. And if you remember the story, he did not sign with MSU on signing day of last year because of the first incident that was reported. That held up things. But then Coach D'Antonio announced that Robertson signing on March 20th, 2016, was finalized. That was after he completed that divisionary program. And Mark D'Antonio released a statement detailing that they were signing Robertson. He has completed the program, and he will be coming to Michigan State University. Also, I want to note this. Robertson had charges dropped in September of 2015 after allegations of criminal mischief and damaging property and resisting law enforcement. That is also according to Allen Superior Court 5 records. So if you look at the paper trail leading up to today in this latest news, of him being officially, Robertson being officially charged with sexual criminal misconduct, it shouldn't be surprising to many. Now, there are many areas we can go with this conversation. Of course, this paints a very, very ugly picture for the Michigan State football program. And I tell you what, Mark D'Antonio, because I always believe in second chances. And Mark D'Antonio did give this man a second chance. And what even blows my mind even further is that this is an incident that took place on April 9th. This is an incident that took place after the first sexual assault investigation came out to the public. I mean, you would think that a man like Austin Robertson, who plays for the MSU football team, who evaluates that situation and looks at three of his teammates being involved in a sexual misconduct situation, you would think Austin Robertson would learn from his teammates' mistakes. But yet again, he aligns himself and puts himself in a position like this. It's troubling, I must say. It is truly troubling when you look at this. And it further aids my point of view with this stance when evaluating the bigger picture here. Why does this happen? And let's be clear with this. This does not just happen at Michigan State University. I want to let that be known as well, because I hear a lot of dialogue out there. I'm looking at social media from a lot of the fans. I'm talking to a lot of my former Michigan State University classmates about this. And they're wondering what in the world is going on at East Lansing. Well, there's a bigger picture here. This isn't the only university where we have a situation where athletes are getting in trouble with the law when it comes to criminal sexual assault and misconduct. It's happened at other universities as well. You better believe it. Just do a quick Google. Heck, you can even bring up Baylor. I mean, Baylor is like, that's the school everybody brings up with this conversation, right? But the bigger question here is why is it happening? That's a loaded question to answer. And we've tried to answer it here on Current Sports. I talk about the culture that these players grow up in. You know, how for a lot of them playing the game of football, not using this as an excuse. But it's hard to put that testosterone away when you're away from the football field. It's a question of entitlement as well. A lot of athletes walk around this campus, or any Division I campus for that matter. If you're an athlete, a big-time name, playing for a big-time program, you feel like you're entitled to everything. That is including relations with the female demographic. It's also a question of that. It's a question of these athletes' backgrounds and the homes that they come from. Hey, I'm a kid who grew up in a house, and I witnessed domestic violence firsthand. And that subconsciously does a lot, if you allow it to, for a young mind. A lot of these kids grow up not knowing what a healthy relationship between a man and a woman is because of the type of households they grow up in. And the parents have not done a good job in mentoring and teaching these young men how they should treat women. That's also another part to it. So that's a loaded question here. But we also have to think about when stories like this come out, you know, on a college campus, another part that we have not addressed here on Current Sports is how this affects the female demographic that walks Michigan State University. I'm curious, because I tell you what, I can't be in those shoes. Because I'm not a female student here at Michigan State University. And I would like to hear from the female demographic that listens to Current Sports, that is listening right now on social media. I want to know how safe you all feel here on campus, and how you feel this university has gone about sexual misconduct and sexual abuse. Have they gone about it the right way based on examples of the past? I'm curious. I want to know, do you feel safe walking this campus? When you see a story like this, when you see another sexual assault investigation hovering around the program, because we have to be honest here. We have to not just look at how this affects MSU football, how this affects, you know, the athletic program in general. But from an overall conversation of making sure students are safe here on campus, do you feel safe? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Coach D'Antonio, you know, there are many who are fans of the Michigan State football program that now have an altered point of view when it comes to Coach D'Antonio. There are many that feel like Coach D should be on the hot seat. And again, you have a lot that are defending Coach D'Antonio. I am one of the ones who defend Coach D'Antonio. Because Coach D, I feel like Coach D'Antonio, and again, it's impossible to police your players 24/7. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 70 to 90 players on an MSU football roster. It is impossible for one man and a coaching staff, for that matter, to police what happens away from the field when it comes to those players. It really is. And again, you know, you look at the situation involving Robertson and you go back to his high school days in which, again, you know, the October 2015 incident at his high school in which he was accused of improperly touching a female classmate. There are a lot of people that believe that after that incident, Mark D'Antonio should not have signed Austin Robertson. But he did. And again, I believe in second chances. I saw nothing wrong with him signing him again. But there may be, and I'm just throwing this out there, there may be a cultural problem in that locker room. There may be. One that doesn't fall solely on the shoulders of head coach Mark D'Antonio. This is the first time that this program has been involved with something as sensitive as this. And this is uncharted territory for Coach D'Antonio. And how he responds, and there have been a lot of folks, I've criticized Coach D'Antonio, I've gone on the record to criticize him, I thought he waited too long to issue a statement when he came to the first sexual assault investigation. He has since issued a statement concerning this situation, not since, of course, because it's fresh news, not since, of course, Austin Robertson's name has been linked to it officially now, but he has released a statement saying that Robertson had been suspended and they do not tolerate that type of behavior. Heck, Luana K. Simon, president of the university, she also released a statement about this. But man, oh man, another thing I thought about too when driving into work is that just down the road, such a contrast, right? Out in Ann Arbor, the Michigan football program heading to Italy right now to meet the Pope. So much positive news happening down the road for the Michigan Wolverines football program and Jim Harbaugh. And you compare that to what's taking place in East Lansing. Because not only do you have this, but you also have the Dr. Larry Nassar investigation taking place. Also, you have a former Michigan State University basketball star in Mateen Cleaves. His case has been reinstated. That's also a sexual assault situation. It's really, really tough right now, folks. Really, really tough for Spartan fans out there. What are your thoughts on it? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. While you guys are weighing in, I want to push along here, and I want to comment on the on a much, much lighter note. The Detroit Lions 2017 schedule, yeah, you can't go a month, even in the offseason, without talking about NFL football. There are many excited Detroit Lions fans out there. And when you evaluate the schedule, I just want to briefly go through it here. To start the season on September 10th on Fox at 1 p.m., the Lions will play the Arizona Cardinals. Then they have a Monday night football game in week two at the New York Giants. That will actually be the home opener for the Giants. Game three, the Atlanta Falcons, a team that got its heart broken, of course, by Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. They will play the Falcons, the Lions will, at 1 p.m. on September 24th in game three of the NFL year. Game four at Minnesota. Game five, October 8th against Carolina. Then October 15th against the New Orleans Saints on the road. Isaac Constance, your squad. October 29th, Pittsburgh, 8:30, primetime game on NBC. November 6th at Green Bay, also a primetime game on ESPN. So two primetime games, back-to-back weeks for the Lions there. Then they will play Cleveland, at Chicago, Minnesota, at Baltimore, at Tampa Bay, Chicago at home, at Cincinnati, and they will wrap up the season against Green Bay. When you look at the schedule, there's a lot of things that can be said about it. The Lions will play two of the first three games at home. That is something that President Rod Wood actually addressed when talking about how he would like the schedule to stack up. He would like to play more games at home to start the year. Well, he gets his wish granted there. And playing on Monday Night Football the second week against Eli Manning and the New York Giants. How about that? Manning also, we haven't touched on this either, but Manning going through a bit of drama right now, if you haven't heard, when it comes to an alleged memorabilia scandal in which Eli, I guess he asked for a helmet that actually didn't play in a game, and he wasn't supposed to do that. And I guess he was giving that helmet away to someone or some organization. That was a no-no, but he denies any wrongdoing there. But anyway, they will play Eli Manning in the New York Giants. Game two, primetime TV, Monday Night Football. The Lions will actually be featured in five nationally televised games. How about that, including three primetime games against the Steelers, Packers, and the Monday Night Football game against the Giants. There will also be a late-season game against the Chicago Bears on Saturday, which can be seen on the NFL Network. And this is the second straight year that the Lions, as I noted, will play the Minnesota Vikings on Thanksgiving Day. The Lions, of course, swept the season series against the Vikes last season. Tough start to the year, though, I must say, because the Lions will play four playoff teams in the first eight games. That's really tough. I mean, Arizona, the Giants, Atlanta. You know, you play, you know, kind of a soft schedule against Minnesota. But then you play the Panthers, which are expected to be better than they were last year. The Saints, which are expected to be better than last year. And you play the juggernaut Steelers and the Packers. That is a tough start to the year for the Detroit Lions, I must say. The Lions, again, after that tough stretch of eight games to start the year, the schedule does lighten up a bit. So if they get through that fire with a decent record somewhere hovering close to 500, heck, it'll be a miracle if they are above 500, if you ask me, after those eight games. The schedule does lighten up a bit starting on November 12th against the Cleveland Browns, which are a terrible NFL franchise every single season. They'll play Cleveland. They'll play a lollipop in Chicago. They're not, Mike Glennon starting at quarterback for the Bears this year, right? Minnesota, a team they dominated last season. Well, they swept last season, I should say. Then at Baltimore, at Tampa Bay, and then they play Chicago again. So that stretch of games near the end of the year, the mid to late year, is where the Lions could really make some noise. And for those wondering, when do the Lions have a bye week? That will happen week 7. What are your thoughts on the Lions schedule? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite a dear friend to the show. Todd Duckett will be calling in and joining us via phone to talk about the latest news concerning Austin Robertson and the MSU football team. Also, the Battlefield Brawl flag football tourney taking place this Sunday. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. We began the show talking about the news that everyone is talking about here in mid-Michigan. Sophomore defensive lineman Austin Robertson officially charged with third-degree criminal sexual misconduct for an alleged assault that allegedly took place on April 9th. You heard my rant about it. If you didn't, you can catch the show after we post it. I won't go on that rant again. We are short on time here. But I want to invite to the show, before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports, Todd Duckett. Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Isaac, initial thoughts on this story, and where do you think it will go?
I'll make as concise of a rant as possible, but it's hard not to get a little bit more upset about this one. I say that reluctantly because it's not to diminish the severity of the first case, but we still don't know so much about that. This, we know who it is. And unfortunately, I'm not trying to draw any character conclusions about Austin Roberts and anything like that. The thing is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Second chances, they are deserved. But they're deserved in retrospect. If somebody makes a good decision, if they merit their second chance and their second option and all of that, then you can say, yeah, that was a good choice. But sometimes when you're talking to somebody, you can tell that this is somebody who still has plenty to learn. Now, this is the third time, as you mentioned now, that Austin Robertson's been caught up with the law. When you get off on a charge of resisting arrest, not sure how you get off on that. That means you more or less negotiated a plea, but that's something that officers actively witness. That means you did resist arrest. When you have battery for inappropriately touching a female student at your high school, that's not a laughable matter. That's not something that's so easily waved off as maybe a high school fight outside the auditorium. That's a big deal. So on this one, I take a little bit more issue with the handling of the situation by MSU. Not that they haven't been transparent with it or anything like that, but after the initial case, you do think there would be a team meeting. And this is what accountable, cohesive teams do. They say, don't go out. Don't do anything. Your focus has to be here. We are not only under a microscope, but it is clear that there's something awry in this organization. We cannot have the smallest infringement of rules, let alone this. There wasn't that, obviously. There was not that prioritization. There was not that enforcement. And for this to come from somebody who, I don't want to say you could predict it, because of course you couldn't. D'Antonio is not monitoring these guys 24/7. There is no possible way to. But there needs to be the emphasis so that this type of thing is not even conceived, not thought about, let alone acted on. This is much more embarrassing, in my opinion, than even the previous incident.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to get the thoughts before we talk about a great event taking place this Sunday entitled the Battlefield Brawl. In its eighth year, a great charity flag football tournament that, again, is being put on for a remarkable, remarkable cause. Let's invite right now Tide, formerly known as TJ Duckett, to Current Sports. Of course, former NFL and MSU running back great and founder of the New World Flood Movement, a service organization that works to help youth become change agents in their communities. Tide does a great job being involved with the community and trying to create positive change. Tide, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, my man?
What's up, man? How you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm fantastic. Always good hearing your voice, man. I can't wait to see you this Sunday. But, you know, I would be remiss, of course, if I didn't start with the breaking news that we have here on Current Sports. Your reaction to, of course, Austin Robertson officially being charged with sexual misconduct. What were your thoughts when you first heard the story, Tide?
Well, I just heard it first time when I got on here.
Okay.
You know, I didn't, with our event and everything going, really hadn't been paying attention too much, especially, I mean, there's a lot going on out there. But, I mean, it's tough to hear. And, I mean, things happen, and I wasn't there. I don't really know the young man. I don't know the scenario. But, I mean, you never want to hear about that for the both of the parties involved. And, you know, it's a tough thing to hear.
You know, you look at this situation, Tide, and, you know, this is a separate investigation that took place from, of course, what has happened earlier this year with three unnamed football players still under investigation when it comes to a sexual assault investigation, that also including one unnamed MSU football staff member. How do you evaluate the cloud that hovers over the MSU football program right now? What do you think the general perception of MSU football is right here on April 21st?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like it's a good one. I mean, people are judging and looking at it, and I mean, it's not the best news you want to hear about anybody. Like I said, any family, anything happening like that, and I mean, young men making some of the decisions that, I mean, everything reflects the university when you're a part of the university, not just in the season, but when you're off season, off the field. So right now, the reflection of the program isn't the greatest, and the worst part is, I mean, you got a couple guys that affect everybody. I mean, this isn't the whole football team, and there's still some amazing young men that are still going to school, getting an education, and going to practice fighting for what their dreams are, whether football or after they get their degree. So, I mean, a couple of things happened, but we are still, I mean, there's 100 and some guys that are doing it right and following what Coach D'Antonio and the rest of the staff are doing.
Yeah, and I think that's an important note to make as well, because, you know, when you hear stories like this, it's very easy for the fan base or those looking from the outside in to paint a picture of the entire program, right? Every player must be doing it. No, these are a few players that are clearly, they clearly need help, without a doubt.
It's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, it's a terrible, but, I mean, the couple players are representing Michigan State as a whole.
Right.
But it's also, I mean, that, again, there's tons of guys, especially on a college football team, and, I mean, they're doing the right thing. So don't completely put a bad feeling over the organization. It's just a problem, an issue that as the team, as everyone, has to deal with and move forward and learn from.
Todd, I'm curious, how do you think Coach D'Antonio has dealt with these issues, if you will? Because there are a lot of people that thought that Mark should have made a statement earlier after the first investigation took place, and instead he waited until the week of the spring game to say something and field questions. How do you think Coach D has handled this so far?
You know, I mean, without being in his shoes and not knowing all of the story, I would have to say, well, I mean, he sounded well, because when he goes and he recruits these young men, this isn't the vision he has for them. And a coach that I believe goes, they look at their players. Yeah, they're players, but they could be their children. They really have a special place in their heart for them, and they want to see them do the proper thing. So to have this, to hear this about one of your teammates or your players or a person that you care and you've had such a bright future for, I mean, get all the facts, get everything you need to know. And they are still human beings and people, and they're young. So let's figure out, get all the information until we present to the public. Because once it's out, I mean, the young men's lives could be over. The men, the women that were involved, their lives could be. I mean, it's a huge deal for every single person involved. So to be able to jump to a conversation, if you don't know all the facts, I mean, maybe wait to see what you have. And again, I don't know how much he did or didn't know at earlier or when, but to be able to really digest it and then talk about it, I think that would be the best way to go about it anyway.
Todd, to pick your brain a bit from when you were a player here on campus, I'm curious, when you evaluate 2017 in comparison to when you played here on campus, again, you were a big name, had a remarkable career as a player. When you would engage in social life here on campus, did you see a sense of entitlement in relation to the opposite sex from other athletes on campus? Was that something that you normally saw?
No, that wasn't something that, I mean, you saw. And whether it's athletes, whether it's regular students, I mean, you start to get into a party atmosphere, socializing, and with it being a lot of kids first time away from family, maybe not knowing what the maturity level is and how to carry themselves. I mean, there's tons of mistakes are made left and right. But as our program, when I was there, I do remember, and the other part is with social media so fast, things could happen and maybe we never knew about it. And now with it happening, the whole team knows, everyone knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, I mean, like I said, yeah, guys who did things, but it wasn't our culture, and I don't remember it happening. Like, I don't remember. I mean, I remember the riots with the Final Four. You know, that's what I remember when.
Yeah.
I mean, that was crazy. That was not the proper way to celebrate, but that was the whole school, and that wasn't just a couple individuals. But at the same time, you know, that we didn't. I don't remember like stuff like this within the athletics program.
Todd, you work with a lot of young men. Again, we mentioned the New World Flood movement, in which you're very involved with the community and a ton of philanthropic endeavors, one of which we'll get to that will be taking place this Sunday.
Yeah.
From when it comes to today's young men in various areas, not just talking about courtship with women, But when it comes to drugs and violence, where for those that do go awry and get off a certain path, get off that positive path, where do you pinpoint the disconnect when it comes to our young demographic today, and how do you go about fixing it?
Jeez, how much time you got?
We could do a whole hour on that, right?
That's loaded, man. I mean, everything from the elders, the adults being more mature and holding the younger generation accountable, regardless of what that means, and going back and sharing, helping, connect. I don't know if enough people are doing that and holding themselves in that space. And I mean, there are some amazing people around our city that do that, but we need more. And a lot of it is just being patient as a young man and be patient, and you're going to be tested, and things are going to happen everywhere. And to be able to see what it means to, let's say, get hit in the mouth and get back up again. Like, what does that mean? Or now do you have to go grab a gun, or do you have to go do something else? Like, there are bumps that we're going to take. There's bruises that we're going to do. But these are the things that are going to define us as men and ultimately grow us into men. And we have to accept our stages that we're in and really, truly commit ultimately to ourselves, and have our the young men and the adults have a higher self-value and the self-worth of how we carry ourselves and the images and the actions and the thoughts, and make sure that they're leading our culture and bringing them forward rather than tearing each other down and pulling us backwards. The kids, every day, there's new kids coming in. There's adults every day getting locked up, and that's an older member, that's a mentor or passing, or things are happening, and then they're left by themselves trying to figure this whole thing out, not knowing that failure and being able to pick yourself up is really the key ingredient to being a man and getting on to that next level, in my opinion. So I think it's just more conversation, more accountability, more hands-on accountability, and more presence. People seeing you, feeling you, being in their space, not just a email, text, phone call, but literally taking some of your time out of your day and entering in their environment and in their world, understanding it, and then giving them tools to lead out of it. So, I mean, it's a big deal, and this is what we've been doing since the world started, man. This is our responsibility.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm 36 now, where this is the stage, the 36-ish, 46, 40s or so, is now when it's my time to be this leader. And I remember growing up as a kid in the 35s and 40s, the young men, I mean, where am I going? What you doing? Did you do this? Did you, like, holding me accountable. Now they've passed, lost the energy, and it's this our 30s stage to be the leaders and the ones that can help out and get involved.
Very well said. Ty Duckett, former MSU NFL running back, great, and founder of New World Flub. And one more question I want to throw at you, Ty, before we talk about, the Battlefield Brawl this Sunday. I was reading an article, and we profiled this on yesterday's Current Sports. We had Cody J. Tucker on the show. He's done a great piece on Charles Rogers. Charles, we haven't seen him in the press in the last 5 years. He was a great player when he played with you at Michigan State. And you were highlighted multiple times in that article as being one of the guys that Charles Rogers leans on. He was asked by Cody at one point in the interview, I mean, who is one of the guys that you can really lean on and he's going to be there for you? And he immediately said your name. I don't know if you've read the piece, but what is that relationship like between you and Charles Rogers?
I mean, it's a family relationship. I mean, we're really not blood brothers, but we are literally, it's that family. And going back to even high school competing and then going to college, I mean, we all have the same issue. And then to go into the NFL and then not talk to the guy for like 10 years, literally, I didn't talk to him, and just watching things happen and the way life is developing for him, and not being able to just be an ear and to have a conversation with him. And that same time, though, I'm going through my own darkness. I'm still trying to figure out my own place to be able to even live my own life. And then to talk to him some years later and understand from my own experience what it takes, and then to hear his words of where he's at and the similarities, I mean, I can relate to him in a judgmental space, and I mean, I love the dude. Out of love is, I mean, this is what it's all about, is out of love. And I mean, it goes back to playing Coach Manny, taking you through these workouts, and you looking at each other like, we're going to get through this together, man. We're going to. It's going to hurt.
Right.
It's going to be hard, but at the end of this, we're going to get through it, and then we're going to win a game. So now it's the same thing, like looking at him like, man, it hurts. It's hot. I know, but we're going to get through this. And at the end of this, whatever you choose now it comes your choice. Now you have to commit to yourself, mature, grow up, and what are you willing to sacrifice and fight for what you want to achieve your championship? And not holding each other accountable. I mean, that's now it's back to the same thing, because here I am saying one thing, and if my life is one way, what's the point of him even thinking it makes sense? Mm-hmm. Me, vice versa.
Right.
So, I mean, it's you know how you can always joke with your friend and you'll say stuff to your friend that you may not say to other people? You got that special relationship?
Right.
Well, we can say the same thing, and, I mean, it's taken in a uplifting and an empowering way. You see what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
So
for
to
sure.
Be able to really, and again, that's on both parts. One party being able to say it, and the other party being able to receive it. And then when they receive it, how does that hit their soul? And does that move them to do something, or does that dig them deeper in the hole? You know. So,
right.
I mean, that's the special relationship I believe that we have. And as a team football, especially at Michigan State, the Dogs I play with, we all have that. But we also end up without talking to each other for years, and it's hard to come out and find them, and then, you know, let that ego show and let that ego drop that ego and be humble and share what life really is.
So true. And Todd, I'm really rooting for, just like many of us here in Spartan Nation, really rooting for Charles Rogers to do some great things in the coming future, for real. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him return back to campus, because I know he took a trip with you, actually, last year, the end of last year. All right, before we get you out of here, Todd, the Battlefield Brawl in its eighth year this Sunday. For those that don't know anything about it, please tell us more.
It's a 7-on-7 flag football tournament. I mean, you've participated a bunch of years. We get community leaders, former athletes, and they get a chance to play on different teams. We say every day James and Joe's get to sign up their team, and we go and we play a day of football, flag football. This year we'll be raising money for New World Flood, but also for the Davies Project and the House of Promise. The Davies Project takes families to doctor's appointments that otherwise may not make it to their appointment, and House of Promise rescues women from sex trafficking. So these are two very big, important organizations in our community. And for us to take football, something that we all love, I mean, right before I got on, I hear you reading off the line, something that we all can relate to, and then go out on a beautiful Sunday, which it will be, put it out there.
All right.
On a beautiful Sunday. and be able to fellowship and raise some money, and at the end of the day have a good time for some great causes.
I'm looking forward to it. Todd, this will be, I believe, my third or fourth year. I can't even remember now. I believe my third year playing in it, and it is always a great time, and I always wake up aching in pain on Monday. So I'm looking forward to it, though.
For the next 2 weeks over here.
Right?
Yes, Marshall Park. It's Marshall Park from Marshall Park in Lansing from 10 to about 4.
Come on out, folks. It's always a great, great time. And also, Todd, want to congratulate you. I know you got a baby on the way, my man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, the responsibility keeps growing. And I'm going to tell you what. You see, man, it's going to be a boy. And we're going to call him Rain. Rain William will be his name.
That's beautiful.
And I'll tell you, if when he gets old enough and you see him out doing some wrong, make sure y'all get in his face. You got my permission.
I will make sure to do that, Todd. The one, the only, Todd Duncan, former MSU NFL running back, great, and founder of New World Flood. Again, the Battlefield Brawl in its eighth year this Sunday at Marshall Park. Todd, thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you, man.
You got
it. Sunday.
You got it, my man. Let's hear our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this Friday edition of Current Sports. Don't go anywhere. yes, you hear the piano riff. I actually recorded that in our studio, Isaac. You know that? I recorded that back in the day. I can play the piano.
Yeah, yeah. I actually knew that. You've got a little bit of the, Billy Joel type feel to you?
Let's just stop kidding ourselves. If I could play the piano, I would not be behind this mic. I tell you that. I'd probably be on a record.
We actually have one in the studio, too, which is worth noting.
We're not even joking.
We're not going to show it off.
Yeah, we got a Steinway & Sons, a beautiful one, right here in Studio S, and I can't play it, though. All right, folks. Well, it's Reflection Friday. You know the piano riff, where we take a look at the week that was here on Current Sports and bring you some of our favorite moments. Well, this is kind of a bittersweet one. There's no sweet to this. This is just a straight-up bitter one. The Detroit Tigers getting swept by the Tampa Bay Rays. If you haven't heard, the Detroit Tigers are expected to play shortstop Jose Iglesias on the 7-day concussion disabled list on Friday, today, and call up prospect reliever Joe Jimenez from AAA Toledo. Now, Jimenez has been great this season with the Mud Hens. In 5 appearances, he has allowed no runs on 3 hits, 10 strikeouts, and 2 walks. We'll see if this rejuvenates the Tigers' bullpen in some way, shape, or form. A bullpen that, again, has struggled this season. And Jose Iglesias being on the 7-day concussion disabled list furthermore hurts this Detroit Tigers defense, which has been absolutely horrid in this 3-game stretch, a sweep at the hands of the Tampa Bay Rays. So bad, actually, that Tigers manager Brad Ausmus called it the worst defensive series under his reign that he has seen from the Detroit Tigers. They will try to get back on track starting tonight against the Minnesota Twins. You got Justin Verlander, Matt Boyd tomorrow, and Michael Fulmer on Sunday. We'll see if the Tigers can get back on track, Isaac.
And that's why I said you evaluate baseball games in batches. You don't do it one game at a time because it can change on a dime. You'll know what happens. I want to talk about the Detroit Lions scheduling, actually. I'm a big fan of the way they front-loaded games this year in terms of the NFL. It's a good test for teams. Bad news for the Lions, though, because you always want the toughest games at the end, even if they're home games, just because you want to get a roll, you want to get a rhythm going. If you start off slow, it's almost too late in the season many times to speed it back up.
For sure. Also want to note, hey, Indiana Pacers, you deserve to be swept. That's all I'm going to say.
Reminds me of Warriors-Pelicans 2 years ago.
We'll see you Monday, folks. Same time, same place here on WKER AM 870 94.5 FM. I've been your host, Al Martin. Take care and be easy, people.